You are listening to a sermon recorded in 2007 at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
When I was asked to speak this morning, I just assumed I would be speaking from the lectionary text. I was quite chagrined when I read the lectionary text, because we've had a number of very fine sermons on the prodigal son. And yet I decided, as an act of penance this Lent, I would undertake the discipline of thinking about the prodigal son one more time. It's been a very good experience for me. What I want to do, as your program bulletins indicate, is I'm dividing the story into three or four parts and going over it. So if you don't have one of these little booklets, raise your hand, and we have more. So the beginning part of the story, and remember, this is a story. It's not, you know, historical fact or anything like that. But I'm going to treat it like there was a family like this. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. I have nothing to do with anything, but it takes a lot of guts to write in a book or something that then the sinners came to hear me talk. good old Luke. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that will belong to me." So he divided the property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. So some reflections. It's a story. And the request is totally unthinkable. He could not wait to get half of his share. Out of curiosity, Joel, have you asked your dad for half his property yet?
No.
No. Well, after Easter, maybe. It never occurred to me to ask my father for half the property because I knew he had none. But it's unthinkable, and yet the grossness of it, it makes the story so compelling. In essence, he could not wait for his father to die. He wanted the money now. He also did not want to stay at home and look after his parents as they entered old age, a theme that Janice and I are dealing with now. And so, in essence, he was deriving his support from his father in old age. He was setting aside the commandment, honor your father and your mother. The son is identified as a prodigal. But at what point does one become prodigal? It's not when you ask. It's been going on before. And I think we can all see in people who, well, sometimes we've seen a young person grow up and we think to ourselves, that person is headed for trouble. We just sort of know that things aren't not accepting the values that are going to make life work. And so the big request was likely simply the big break. And the emotional break had likely happened long before. Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, what does one do when a young son, daughter, grandchild, niece, nephew rejects family values? Many parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles like to leave a little inheritance to family. And some do this by saving, by scrimping, by sacrificing, by foregoing what we would consider almost essentials, by being really thrifty. And then the next generation gets this money and doesn't have those same values or that same attitude towards money. Is that prodigal? The father likely knew that this son was bad news and was going to waste everything. And even so, gave him half of the property. Was that stupid? Is that love? Thank goodness it's just a story. How does God look at the ways I have used money, time, resources, and influence? The story continues. When the younger son had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger." The prodigal son hits bottom. He had rejected his parents' values and lifestyle, which allowed them to build enough capital that they could survive. He did not sustain his capital. He squandered it. He never saved. He was never cautious. He rejected all of his parents' values. Sometimes we hear of people only being able to come to their senses when they hit bottom. But finally, the security of home started to look pretty good to the hungry lad. Values which he had so chafed under and so hated and walked away from started to look attractive. He possibly starts to understand why those ethical, moral, and lifestyle values were being followed by his ancestors. The story reminds us that when people walk away from church or walk away from the family faith, that sometimes the benefits and remnants of the teachings of family and church are still in mind. This was true of the prodigal son. The son is poised to realize he needs to change his entire outlook. In reading this story, I've had to think of the times that I've been that son. The next sentence in Luke is one of the most famous lines in the time of Lent. "I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. That one sentence, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your child. That is one of the most beautiful confessions in literature. In that simple phrase, he acknowledges his situation, his sin, the enormity of his misjudging his life thus far, and his interest in change. There's no bargaining to get half of what's left. He counted on his father's forgiveness. He knew his dad well enough to know that he had a chance when he returned. The mother is not mentioned. The mother in the story, as I see it, prayed every day for this boy. The father accepts him without condition. The father does not make certain the son knows how much the son embarrassed the father or hurt the father or the loss of status the family suffered in the community. Remember, the father lost half. It would be very, very visible. When we go around the Ohio farmland, used to go with Janice's dad, he could point any field and he knew who owned it and when they had bought it. Farmers keep track of these sorts of things, and it would be very visible to lose it. Parents, do we welcome prodigals when they come home? Grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins? Do we welcome the black sheep back? Or do we silently find ways to lay out conditions, to test them, to make sure we're not going to be hurt again? When I go home to my parents, if Janice and I are together, Dad always has the prayer at mealtime. And it's pretty standard stuff. But when we're there with our children, that prayer becomes an altar call. Dad wants them home. The conclusion to the gospel story. Now his elder brother was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, Listen. For all these years, I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command. And yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who's devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. It's a story. It's not a happy family. The one obedient son was apparently not much better than the other. And there are those who will obey, and you know that they're just obeying. And there's no joy in it. That they maybe have not bought into your life values either, but it's just easier to go along with them. That was me at home, because I found out early on, if I towed the line, my bottom stayed a lot cooler. And this made good sense. Didn't mean I agreed with all of the principles at home, but I buckled under. The story also suggests that the father didn't acknowledge his son's cooperation adequately. Should have found ways to keep communication open, to encourage the son, not just to do what's expected, but to help him understand why and be appreciative. The older son seems to be placing conditions on his brother's return, apparently saying, "I'm sorry, forgive me," is not enough. Some people want you to prove that you are truly sorry. In fact, some people have difficulty offering forgiveness even when it is requested of them. Their view is self-centered. It essentially says, the hurt that you did to me is so great, I just don't know how it can be made up fully. Our office at work is dealing with a group of profs who, in essence, is refusing to forgive their head. And this is eating them alive and others. Being unable to forgive may be one of the most destructive things imaginable. The father forgave. The father's going to be okay. The prodigal son seems to have forgiven himself. And I think he's going to be okay. But that older brother is going to be one happy dude for the rest of his life.